Hello and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. In each episode, you'll hear from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In today's episode, you'll hear from Rabbi Elimelech Goldberg, also known as Rabbi G, a martial artist and breath expert who taught breathing techniques to children with cancer to manage their pain and anxiety, a labor of love that initially started when his late daughter Sarah was undergoing cancer treatments in the 1980s. Rabbi G eventually went on to be the founder of Kids Kicking Cancer, a nonprofit that teaches children with cancer breathwork and martial arts, and has taken his expertise on the road, teaching children and adults alike how breathing can be used as a pain reducer. Be sure to stay tuned to the end of this episode when Rabbi G demonstrates a breathing exercises that listeners can use right away to improve their quality of life.
So, what motivated you to form the organization Kids Kicking Cancer?
Our first child, 1 week before her birthday, was diagnosed with leukemia. Today, ALL is a very treatable children's disease. It was not the same thing in 1981. She was an amazing little girl. At 2 years old, we were at a bone marrow transplant at UCLA, and she would tell the five-year-old kids in the clinic not to cry and tell the docs, no medication today, please. In those days, the bone marrow transplants were so toxic that her skin was sloughing off and her constant mucositis, excuse me. And she would lie on top of me the whole time. And because my wife was pregnant then with our son, and our second child was the donor for the bone marrow transplant. So, you know, we had the whole family involved. So I spent most of the time with her. I was lecturing at a university at the time, and I would maybe take off a few hours a week just to go lecture, but they were very understanding. And so most of the time she lay on top of me and she would pat me on the back and say, it's okay, Daddy, I love you. So she was my first inspiration. A number of years after she passed away, I found myself directing a camp for children with cancer in Port Jervis, New York. Mm-hmm. And I came upon a five-year-old child in the infirmary having his port access for his chemotherapy, and he was screaming something awful. And in the old days, I also have an appointment, as you saw, at Wayne State in the School of the Department of Pediatrics in the medical school. Mm-hmm. So we used to teach in medicine that there's a pain center in the brain. So it's absolutely not true. It's a whole, what they refer to as a neuromatrix. That means that if a child or an adult is afraid or angry, they have no purpose to their pain, the actual nociception, the actual neural message goes up. So I came upon this five-year-old child. He's being pinned down by two nurses. Third nurse has a large syringe to plunge into his chest. And he's screaming so awful. It was so counterintuitive. I just yelled, wait. And they all stopped. Even the nurse, even the kid stopped screaming. And the nurses looked at me, and I didn't have a clue what I was going to say next. And I just said to the nurses, could you give me 5 minutes with this child? And they were happy to leave. And the kid looked at me like was the governor. I just stayed his execution. And I said to this child, I said, you know, I'm a black belt, which doesn't mean much. To a little kid, it's a wow. I said, you know, I'm going to teach you some karate. I almost jumped off the table. Explain to him the martial arts. You learn that pain is a message. You don't have to listen to it. You can breathe in this amazing chi, this energy. Doesn't matter if you call it chi, ki, tagadalam, prana, all the terms we use in the martial arts. Mm-hmm. Breathe in this energy and blow out the pain. Watch me. And 5 minutes later, we're doing a simple Tai Chi breathing technique. And 20 minutes later, they pulled out the needle and he looked up at the nurse and he said, did you do it yet? And that's when Kids Kicking Cancer was born.
And you said something really poignant where pain is a message you don't have to listen to. I mean, breathing is obviously something we do every day, but what is so special about these techniques that allows children, especially?
The evidence of the impact of breathing on regulating Not just the emotional, but the neurological components of stress is profound. Breathing is the only part of the autonomic nervous system that you know is the part that works by itself that you can so easily control. And we have a somatic breath, which is a wave, so that we're breathing in, and then every time you breathe out, we go through what's called RSA, respiratory sinus arrhythmia, which is a fancy way to say your body slows down. When you have stress, your body is tight and focused. And pain is that staccato message that amplifies that stress. The ability to create that wave actually tells the adrenal gland that there's nobody running after you to kill you. So I always tell people that, check the floor before you do this. If you have major body parts of yourself on the floor, then your stress is like really legit and call 911. But if, your body parts are still like, still inside, then likely that stress message is just a negative message that amplifies pain, that creates anxieties, creates long-term opportunities for trauma, and that is one of the most unhealthy things you could do ever. Stay in constant stress. So any metadata analysis will tell you that it's absolutely extraordinary. And we see it. We see it. We see that we lower children's pain. We are an evidence-based organization. So everything we do, we have 12 articles, most of them published in peer-reviewed journals, including functional MRIs that we've done with children's brains, watching children's brains as they do our techniques after being trained for interventions compared for general mindfulness or relaxation. We see the impact that we make in the brains of the kids. And so what we do is simple, but what's so important is that every child becomes a teacher. Like we work with children in Zambia or Zimbabwe or Senegal. Many of them don't even have pain medication. But when we're able to show them, when our therapists are able to take their phone and show them, hey, look at all these people doing power, peace, purpose, they're learning from you. We become their pain medication without drugs. It's really simple. So we started teaching children. And then we said, if we could teach children how to do this, we can teach adults. We'll just talk slower. And so we started to bring our kids to people all over the place. And the kids come in their little karate uniforms, and they're super cool. And
Definitely.
a number of years ago, we brought a group of our kids from Sloan Kettering to teach Pfizer executives in New York how to breathe in the light, blow out the dark. So they called me from Pfizer, Italy, 3 days later when I come to Rome to teach them how to do it. So I was very honored to come to Rome, and Pfizer in Italy became our first sponsor. They introduced us to Bambino Gesù Hospital, which is the Vatican Children's Hospital, which I thought was like really cool that an Orthodox rabbi needed permission from the Pope's office to teach an Eastern meditative technique to Vatican children. And so he gave it like right before. I have a picture in my office. I'll show my phone too. Right before COVID, I had the privilege of teaching Power, Peace, Purpose to Pope Francis. Pope Francis Francesco grabbed me underneath the elbow, which, in the martial arts, that's the beginning of a takedown. So I went in for a hip throw, and then I said, no, this is going to end up wrong. I really don't want to do this. But I held myself back, thankfully. Strength can be important. And he leaned into me and he said, please have the children pray for me. Understood the power of these little kids. And that's what we do. The children become powerful. Because we're martial artists, we get an immediate vector into the heads of the kids. But when adults see the children doing it, the inspiration, we do these breath break seminars for companies around the world, and 97% of the adults we surveyed describe it as having had a profound impact on their lives. I was in a hospital in Naples in Italy. We're in several hospitals in Italy. And they introduced me to a young lady who was having a very recent cancer diagnosis, depressed, going through all types of challenges and facing surgery the next day. And she was like so depressed when I first met her. And I said to her, like if we say to all the kids, no, we have an agenda. Thank God her English was really good because my Italian is terrible. And I said to her right away, so you know, I have an agenda. There are a lot of little kids in this hospital. You can learn how to do this. You can help them. Well, it's not like a light bulb went on. Like, okay, maybe there's a purpose to what I'm going through. That's our mantra, power, peace, purpose. And we did a meditation for about 12 minutes, focusing on the power for light going through her body, blowing out the darkness of pain, fear, and anger. And she opened up her eyes and I asked her, how do you feel? And she said, Fantissimo. And her mom and her doctor were standing right next to her, both started crying. I didn't do anything. I just told her she had power. And with that power, she could create that inner peace. And that's her purpose, to teach the world. And so that's the magic of it. It's really simple. People have to have purpose. And that works for a child, that works for an adult. People have to be able to identify, you know, that certainly when it comes to a disease state that exists on a molecular and a cellular level, the power of the soul is much more powerful than all of the above. And however you call it, energy or, again, chi, and there are multiple factors in terms of the neurology of happiness versus pain, fear, and anger. However you want to posit it, the ability to, it's not by accident that the word inspiration, respiration, all have at the core spirit. The human condition has a natural healing. And when we are victimized, when we're facing trauma, when we're just putting ourselves into the control of other, we very often can give up that spirit and get forlorn and depressed. And pain causes greater depression. You'd see it in Brodmann 24, 25 in the brain. There are multiple cycles that people get into it. And the depression makes the pain worse. The pain makes the depression worse. And then we become defined by it. I teach pediatricians, I teach pediatric oncologists that these are not, you know, some cancer victims. They're healthy kids with tumors. And the more that they can be able and allowed to feel their power, they could partner in the healing, as can adults. It's so easy to become victimized. And of course, you know, we live in a society, in Western society and Western medicine in general, that says, okay, that give me the pill, give me the shot, give me the operation. And of course, give my insurance company the bill. And that's healing. Today, we're teaching in medical school that, you know, understanding the entire patient and their stress and their values and their keys to what success looks like, what a successful outcome look like. These are absolutely golden keys.
So let's say either a parent, a caregiver, you know, they have a child with cancer and they kind of want to utilize these tactics or these, you know, techniques. And let's say even the caregiver might help them as well as they see other people go through it. How would you, what advice would you give to them to get started to have this mindfulness?
Yeah, first of all, call us, you know, reach out to us. The best thing is we have on our website number of trainings that we do. We're now creating, thanks to generosity of Larry and Jackie Kraft, we're now creating a digital dojo where children around the world be able to turn into avatars, but people able to learn from them. Real children and, you know, eventually real time, learning how to breathe in the light and blow out the darkness. So people will not only be able to help themselves, but help the children at the same time. In the meantime, though, there are a number of videos on our website, and they're building up more. where people be able to learn, and this is not just kids with cancer, it could be anybody who has pain, stress, trauma. I think as the world is progressing, there's much less stress and trauma. Everyone's like walking around much happier, and the world's much more at peace. But in case you live in a place, well, that's if you live in New Jersey, but if you live elsewhere, people are facing stress and trauma and all types of stuff. So it's an opportunity to learn from the children. And that's the ongoing circle that we have.
And it seems like this organization that you formed has taken you literally all over the world and has provided you with many opportunities to meet with people and impact their lives. But what do you think was the most rewarding aspect of this entire journey so far?
There's not one thing in particular because it keeps replicating itself. But, you know, when I went to Barry Gwinnett Hospital in Soweto, and you go into, it's the sixth largest hospital in the world. You go into the clinics and into the hospital, I mean, and you see bed, 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 two toilets at the end of the hall. You see children, some as, you know, as young as 3, 4 years old, going through amputation because they don't have limb salvage surgeries like we have here. Some of them in terrible pain, some of them in end-of-life care. And most of them are all by themselves. Their parents are too poor to be there with them. They're in a township town, can't even afford the cost of transportation. And I appealed to Dr. Gita Nadu, who's now on our board there. I appeared to him and I said, let me spend a few hours with your children in the most pain. And she stayed with me. And we walked around from child to child. And you know, I had one young lady who had terrible neuropathy on her arm. She couldn't move her arm because of her cancer treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And 15 minutes later, she's moving her arm and she's, I don't feel anything now. And by the end of 3 hours, Gita turned to me and she grabbed my arm and she says, Rabbi G, you have to promise to come back and take care of my babies. And now we're there all the time, you know, several times a week, taking care of her babies. The greatest moment, and it replicates itself, whether for myself or the hundreds of martial arts therapists that we have, is seeing a child in pain who after just a few minutes is no longer in pain. Not because they're just distracted. Distraction works great. It's evidence-based, you know, and et cetera. We've trademarked the term pain extraction. The children themselves can learn the techniques to visualize the discomfort, use their breath to break through that discomfort. Because most of the time children have pain and discomfort, there's nobody there to distract them. So there is no one moment, but that moment that you can make a child smile, that continues to grow one on top of the other on top of the other. And for the children who are not doing well, children who don't survive, we give them black belts before they pass away. And the black belt, we embroider the child's name and the words master teacher, because each child becomes a teacher. Sometimes we've given the black belt in front. We never tell the kids it's their last, you know, end of life ceremony. We always tell them this first degree black belt, et cetera, et cetera. But the kids are smart. You know, they'll tell us, don't tell my mom that I know, but I know. And so we've given black belts to kids in ICU rooms and then sometimes in auditoriums in front of hundreds of the family and friends. And one of the first black belts, a boy named Brandon, he stood up. He could barely sit. He was so weak. But he wanted everyone to know that he's getting his black belt because he defeated his cancer. He's not afraid. He's not angry. If anything, he was closer to God and the people around him. And the beauty of this, these are children, they could be atheists or Jewish or Muslim or Christian, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all, I still have the image of Dr. Nadu, take care of my babies. But these babies can help train the world how to breathe in the light, blow out the darkness. And that's the image of a hero circle that we're working. Create the right portals, create the right partnerships that will allow us to reach millions of children across the planet.
And is there such thing as a semi-quick technique that we could walk through our readers to allow them to breathe in the light and extinguish?
And some of it's on the, you can see on our website. We rub our hands together to get the energy flowing. Then we allow our shoulders and our chin just to fly forward. And as we breathe in, we imagine we're breathing in this powerful light, this energy, pulling it up and up and up at the ends of the breath, taking a little bit more. So the breath is like a wave. We're pulling it up. We count to three in our head, two, three, as we breathe out, reversing the moment. Our chin is falling, our shoulders are falling. The ends of the breath, we push out a little bit more. So the breath's like a wave, up and down. But it takes advantage of several elements of our own physiology that allow the brain to say, wait a second, I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. That's what these children are teaching the world. No matter what you face in your life, you can breathe in that light and pull out the darkness.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. Find us on Facebook at Cure Today, Twitter at Cure_Today, and Instagram at Cure Today.